Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for a short message. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, you want to sit on my lap? No. The Bible tells me so. Well, wait just a moment. I see a couple more coming in. Okay, I want to play I Spy for just a second. Can we try I Spy? You guys know that game.
Yeah.
It's going to be an easy one, I promise. So I'm going to start with I Spy hearts. Where?
Right there.
That's the ones that are hanging up. Really subtle. I know. Let me try again. I spy a cross.
Oh.
There's the big one right up there. That's right. And now this one's a little bit harder. I spy butterflies. Oh, look in the flowers, everybody.
Oh, there.
Look at the little butterflies. Do you see all of them in the flowers?
Yeah.
Those are all things that we're lifting up. You know, hearts and butterflies aren't always seen as Christian symbols, but they are when we see it through the eyes of the cross. They are something special for us. And I want to use the butterfly as a symbol that we can share together today. This, what is that?
Two hearts stuck together.
Two hearts that make
a butterfly.
So I want each of you to take one of these and take a string.
And for my brother.
You can take one for your brother too, yes. And you take a string, and I want you and parents and other adults, you are welcome to do one of these as well during that time after the message. I want you to put on this a special prayer, a hope, whatever comes to your mind when you come to Easter, because we bring it all through the eyes of the cross. Everything becomes God's, and we can put on this what we want. But you don't have to do it right now. We're not going to make them right now. You're going to take these back to your seats. But you can take that and help us to find ways to bring all of these beautiful symbols to Jesus, okay? Can you pray with me? Dear God, help me to love you. Every part of me. In your name, amen. Okay, can everybody get a heart and a string? Okay. Wait, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's fun. It's a great day. And I got to admit, I like this day. I'm a pretty happy guy. I get to be excited up that front. I think most people think of me as upbeat. You know, my uncle nicknamed me Bright Eyes as a kid. I don't know why. I'm the guy who likes to yell out in a crowded elevator, "So I suppose you're wondering why I gathered you all here today." I think most of us would say, yeah, sunny disposition, sure. But I'll tell you, if you haven't noticed, getting me to preach on Easter or Christmas might be a bit foolish, because on those bright sunny days, I'm never as bright and sunny as I want to be. And it's not because it's 6 a.m. But in my faith, I'm always compelled on the brightest of days to be a little bit more on the dark side. It's just something about faith. It's not that I don't like these days. I love these days. Some of my favorite days. It's just that in my faith life, I'm compelled by the darker tones. The darker tones of our faith. It's like one bad April Fool's joke to have me preach on this day. I mean, who wants the guy up front who's compelled to say, you know, we all will die soon. Someday. No, get him out of here. This is Easter. This is pastel colors and butterflies and bright peppy tunes and hope with chocolate bunnies. No darkness today, right? But here I am and here we are. And isn't that kind of our journey that sometimes you look around and say, oh, no Pastor Michael today. And here he is. And there's others in your life that we will not name. They work the same way. But the reality is God has put us all together in all of the tones of who we are, whether we are pastel colors or something else, come together on this day. And we are all in God's love and grace. And we all find out that our diversity in our witness to that faith becomes one of the greatest gifts we have. So I want to dig into the scriptures that we have today, because whether you saw that or not, Mark's a little darker in his resurrection story than most as well. You know, personally, I like things to make sense. And though Mark is dark a little bit in his resurrection story, it's not quite as upbeat and exciting as the other ones. It does make sense quite a bit. So let's look at that. Because it makes sense that the women were going to the tomb that Sunday morning. You might not think that makes sense, but it was the natural response time. Jesus had died on a Friday night. Saturday was the Sabbath day. They would not have been allowed to prepare the body. That makes sense. It makes sense that the tomb would have been closed. Even if the body wasn't prepared, perhaps the body would stay a bit cooler. And of course, security was a concern too, especially with this Jesus of Nazareth. It makes sense that the women may not have even had a plan about moving the stone. This was a whirlwind of grief. You know grief. Everybody has met somebody in the midst of grief. That morning was an act of love. That morning was an act of getting up, not having everything planned and laid out, just loving the person who had died. In grief, we don't always have everything planned. And it makes sense that when they are told that Jesus had risen from the dead, they might react with fear and terror. It makes sense that they said nothing to anyone right then, that they were afraid and nothing more. It all makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is everything else. That's the gospel story? Mark, you're worse than Pastor Michael. The women hear about Jesus' resurrection and do nothing. And before that, why would Jesus do such a thing at all, right? I mean, we can just go to what doesn't make sense in this final passion story. Jesus, just stop this. Why die if you have the power of God? Squash them like grapes, these people who would do this to you. That makes more sense. And now, it doesn't really make sense that a hodgepodge group of people from Fort Collins on this day, 2,000 years later, would be coming together. It doesn't make sense that we proclaim love, hope, and forgiveness to a world that over and over again shows it's broken and messed up. It doesn't. That this message is shared across the globe in 100 different languages, it doesn't make sense. The question then has to be aloud, spoken aloud. Is this the best April Fool's prank ever? Or is it that God, the God we see in Jesus, is truly the God of love? Because love changes everything. And all of those things that we were talking about as not making sense through love make a bit more sense. Because, well, love doesn't always make sense. And the pain we go through for love, the tunnel vision of focus on those we care for, if God is focused on love, then maybe everything that Jesus did makes complete sense. The fear that we live for the other because of how much we love them, the fear that we have in love, it makes sense even how Mark wrote this gospel. What we do have is a story that invites us to be a part of it, that invites us to that love, that allows us to take our lives that don't seem like symbols of Christ Jesus and turn them into just that, that helps you to see that without someone telling the story of this love, well, the story doesn't make sense. So we get to be that link to tell this story of love. The beauty of the gospel is we know that that's the truth of the story. That even though it ends with them saying nothing and going in fear, we know they must have told the story because here we are. Somebody told this story over and over again. Somebody finally thought to write it down, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. Somebody put this to music, all these beautiful, beautiful composers, and everybody realized that they had gifts that could share this love. What is your gift that will share God's love? I want to tell a story. I've told it in Bible study a few times. It has nothing to do with Easter and everything to do with baseball, but that's season two. And it does have to do with our common voice. It's about a man named Harry Carey. Some of you know the announcer Harry Carey, the old announcer for the Chicago Cubs, and before that, the Cardinals. Harry Carey is a Hall of Fame baseball announcer, died about 20 years ago now. He inspired the tradition of singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, that halfway through the seventh inning. It was him who really got that going, that's sung all over now. And somebody pointed out to him, at one point late in his career, that during the national anthem at the beginning of the game, that hardly anybody was singing along. The great singers that they had come in to sing that, these operatic trained singers, would come to the ballpark and a lot less people would sing with them. And during the Take Me Out to the Ball Game, everybody would sing with Harry. The person asking the question says, I don't think this is that they're less patriotic. He said, no, they aren't less patriotic. He said, I think they sing because I'm not a good singer. My imperfect voice does not cause them to think they will mess it up by joining in. They know that they can join me in singing this song. Do you get it? No, I'm not saying you're imperfect. Yeah, I'm saying you're imperfect. I am. But I'm also saying your voice needs to join the song. And your love matters. Because, you know, whether you're feeling bright and shiny today or a bit on the dark side, the light of Christ Jesus shines upon you. And the love of Christ Jesus grows and grows. And we enter into the story as the women do sometime. Scared, but told we need to share this story with others. And I hope you feel as the women did too when they realized Though I am scared, I am loved, and this is a love that is worth sharing. Because Mark knew we needed different storytellers. I think Mark knew that the place at the tomb was not a place that many of us knew literally. But all of us knew a place where we have been, where we have not known what to do. And he knew we need the diversity of storytellers. We need the imperfect storyteller that you are to be a part of this. We need the single mother who's barely getting through the day, along with the typical family with 2.4 children. We need the gay woman who wants to know that her story matters. And we need the somewhat conservative, middle-of-the-road white male to know that his story matters. We need the child and the mother who marched for more gun control, and we also need the hunting enthusiast who loves his gun but also loves his neighbor. We do. We need the school teacher, the businesswoman, the bricklayer, the plumber. God needs the lot of you. God needs exactly who you are to know that you are loved and that you are called to be a messenger of Christ Jesus. God needs you to know that just because you're a fool like Pastor Michael, you deserve to tell the story. You are a fool to one person, but you are full of wisdom to another. And together, the Holy Spirit flows through us, and we have a message of Christ Jesus that breaks through the polarized world that we live in and helps us to see that we can come together. We are collectively both saint and sinner. And we are collectively a beautiful voice of song. God wants us in relationship to one another, to love one another, to share this good news that not only are you loved, but that person you walk to see tomorrow in the grocery store, that neighbor, even the grumpy one, is loved too. Share that message of hope that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And let's join together in our hymn of the day.